听力课堂，听 class.com。
Today's subject is jobs and education. This is something that any of us could relate to. This is Viv.
Yes, this is Daisy. Definitely. You know, there's no substitute for a great education, I think. And, you know, if you want to get that job, but then again, you have to be...educating yourself for the right reasons. But I guess we'll get into that a little bit later. So, how about you, Bo?
Yes. Hey, this is Bo. That's short for Bo Cephas. And I have those two things, a job and education. Over to you, Luke.
I think a job is an education. And I think education is not something you do in school, necessarily. I think it's something you do for your whole life. And you do it wherever you are, whenever you are, whatever you are.
Well, obviously, they're both related. And we'll discuss more about it.Here we go.
Well, you know, school for me, back way back, a long time ago, I really didn't enjoy it myself. I didn't have a good school experience. How about you, Bo?
Oh, are you talking about high school or college?
High school.
Oh, high school.Well, I didn't really care much about, studying. I like to, have fun. And they say, like, in America, those are the best years of your life.
Right.
Well, they weren't really, I suppose.
No, me neither.
Because I fooled around so much, I got kicked out.
You got kicked out of Catholic school?
I didn't say Catholic school. How'd you know that, Viv? Yes, I did.
For what?
We have a demerit system, and if you get up to 20 demerits, they kick you out, and they kind of just let me keep going, and I had 40, twice the amount, and they said, we have to make an example of you, Mr. Bo, and they kicked me out.
So we're saying, like, what exactly were the reasons you got your demerits? Like, what kind of, you know?
Let me see, I got caught, cheating once, that was 5 demerits.And then, I lit a fire in the pottery, room, and that was probably the end of it, right there, the fire thing.
Did you do it on purpose?
Yes, I did, because there was this piece of work that I didn't really like, and I poured some glue in it and lit it on fire, but then I tried to put it out with water, but then it kind of just dispersed all over the place, and I got in trouble.
So it kind of, you weren't planning it to be that big, but it just kind
of
got out of hand.
Yes, it escalated.
Ooh.How about you, Luke? How was your, school experiences?
Similar experience. It was more, focused on social life and, recreational stuff than actual studying. I think that's what a lot of high school and elementary school is for people back home. The only time you really buckle down is when you get to university, just because you have to, because the course load does increase. But I never really, I was never that freaked out by high school or...anything. I applied myself a bit more in college and just goofed off, got in trouble. I used to sell firecrackers out of my locker, and one time I taped one to a candle, and I tried to blow it up, and it exploded, and I got suspended for a day for that. Another time I threw a pie in the cafeteria across the room. I got in trouble for that, started a food fight.
I used to throw books out the window of the library. It's kind of similar.
That's pretty bad.
I used to steal books from the library.
Yeah.
Bad girl.
Terrible.
How about you, Viv?
Me? I was such a good girl in school. I used to look down upon all those girls who used to gather in the bathroom and smoke in the stalls. I was always early to school. And my teachers just loved me. They just ate me up, I swear. I could con them. I just opened my mouth and they were like, oh, Vivian, you're such a good student. Yeah, kind of had it made in school, I guess.
And, did you, do well in school?
Oh, yeah, I was a straight-A student.
And did you graduate, from high school valedictorian?
No, not exactly. Last 6 months of school were just so tragic for me and my mom. We just, you know, I dropped out of school. I just couldn't take it anymore, being a perfect student.
The pressure? The pressure of being a straight-A student?
I guess. It's just, you just want to try different things, and after just...everything being handed to you on a silver platter. You know, you just want to do something different. And just one day I just decided, well, I didn't want to go to school and I wanted to play hooky. And it just, it was so much freedom all at once, I guess.
That's kind of interesting. the difference between the Korean, you were raised sort of in between a Korean mm-hmm. educational system and an American style of education. And one thing I've noticed about the Korean education system is from the time you enter school, maybe preschool, to the time maybe till the end of high school, this is a time where we goofed off, basically applied ourselves a minimal amount of effort to get the grades and get things done. Whereas that whole time in Korea, in the Korean society, children are being pushed to study almost every minute they have. They go to school and they're pushed to study. They go to academic institutes to study. They're often pushed by their parents to have to take piano lessons or gymnastic lessons or skating lessons or any kind of lessons. They never really have time to just be kids and goof off and play and stuff. And then when they hit university, it's almost like they regress back into a childhood state of mind. And if you've seen university classrooms with the speaking, the chatting during class and like leaning on each other and cheating and just goofing off and having a gay old time, it's just so contrasted to what an American university classroom would look like, where everyone's attentive and conscientiously studying and giving their full attention to the professor.
Well, that's the thing. If they're not, then they get kicked out.
Exactly.
Well, I definitely agree. That's exactly how the difference in cultures is. My mother being Korean and my father being American, my father was more submissive in the relationship, so he kind of let my mother take over the family. But that's exactly how she was, and that's why I felt so much stress by the end of school, was because from the minute you're in elementary school, she was pushing me to do everything perfectly, whereas everyone was just, all the kids were, especially in elementary or junior high, you're just having fun. I was pressured, you know, so much to get the grades and make the grade. Whereas after that, then she always told me, as soon as you're an adult, as soon as you're 18, you do whatever you want. But until then, okay, it doesn't matter, no matter what, as long as you graduate, after that you can do whatever you want, because then you're set, you're made to go wherever. But in the American culture, my dad was actually saying the opposite. Enjoy now and then get into a really good school and then you really study, because that's what's going to lead to a good job. And it's right. Totally the opposite.
Well, I think that everybody, it doesn't matter what culture you're from, everybody is in a different situation with their family.
Right.
Some parents are just naturally pushy and they want their children to do well.
Sure.
And some parents don't care. But the Korean education system, and I think probably a lot of other education systems in Asia, especially the Japanese one, seems to be quite unique in the fact that, you know, Luke was saying, there is so much pressure on these children from a young age. And I think that it's absurd. Basically, children are sponges and they can learn anything. They can absorb, but even if they learn it, do they absorb it?
Mm-hmm.
I think that they're just learning parrot-like, for want of a better word. They're just taking in this information, remembering it, using it in no practical way, and not being able to apply anything that they've learned in theory.
Mm-hmm.
And there's too much of it, too much to process. I don't think they're able to process it. And even in universities, I had a friend who was studying engineering, and he had this assignment with an American professor was visiting, and the American professor said, go ahead and design one of those big cranes that you see on construction sites. And he thought, oh, well, I'm a fourth year student, I should know how to do that. But he didn't. So he went to a construction site and asked the site manager, how would you design one of them?
Mm-hmm.
And the site manager said, who are you? And he said, I'm a fourth year university student. And he laughed at him and said, go back to school. You do that when you get a real job.
Right.
So there's no practical implication of anything they learn in
right.
school or university.
And that brings us to a point where, and this is kind of something that they've been focusing on recently, is the difference in education, the methods of education that they practice overseas in Asia versus Europe or the Western countries, which is in the classroom situation, the teachers encourage students to respond, even argue with the student and debate and test out their ideas and theories in the classroom. Whereas in Asian cultures, you don't want to talk back to your teacher. You want to pretty much say everything you say is correct, because once you argue or you say, well, what about this, then that means in the culture, you're talking back to the teacher.
Right.
That calls for reprimanding the child or the student.
Well, I think the reason why the education system in Asia is not good, and it's not just because I grew up in a different kind of education system, but I think that if you look at it more in a general sense of child development during those years, if you're giving a child stress, of course that's going to affect them later on in their life. Whereas kids are just designed, so to speak, to like be curious and find out about things by themselves and like have fun as they grow up and develop. Traumatic event in their life does affect them later on socially. And I think that's where college and being more strict in the Western world is a good remedy for that. That's because I think that's where people really kind of develop themselves.
Right, I definitely agree. Because in the Korean culture, or many other Asian cultures as well, after so much, 10 years of strict educational, pressures from the parents and teachers in school, you all of a sudden have freedom once you go to college here in Korea. Whereas in a Western culture, you're given all this freedom at a younger age to explore your ideas, go out and do things, experiment with your friends and whatnot. But then in college, it's not because of the pressures you get from your parents, but then you kind of mentally develop yourself and you have to live on your own. You have to go to school. You're responsible for many things away from your parents. And so you just kind of naturally hone in on your, you become an adult. You're more mature, whereas here you break free all of a sudden and you're actually getting really immature.
I think it comes down to you're taught in the Western society to think for yourself. You're taught to be independent a little bit more. You're given, you have more control over your free time,
but
you're made to understand the consequences if you don't use some of that free time to study or to do these things.
Yeah, exactly.
And you value your free time more because of that.
And I'll give you an example of that. Exactly. You do get a sense of freedom from your parents when you go to school in America, but this is exactly right. What happened to me was freshman year, they load you down with like 7 courses in architecture, right? So you have a really tight schedule, but the first year of college, you're away from your parents, so you can get away with murder. So that's what we do. We go and we drink every night on weekdays, and then like we skip classes and stuff. And then all of a sudden, you get a notice from the dean that says your grade point average is below 2, and if it continues this way, you're going to get kicked out. So then we say to ourselves, well, we kind of want this freedom to continue. If we get kicked out, we're going to have to move back in with our parents.
Yeah.
So then we kind of buckle down a little bit. But as you go through college more and more, you start to actually learn things that you like. Like you're learning things that are interesting. And when you're in elementary school and in high school, learning about like math and stuff, they're just force feeding you this stuff. You don't naturally want to learn it.
You have a curriculum that you have to take.
Yeah.
One of the interesting things is, I grew up in Australia. The Australian education system is different, again, from the American system.
What is it, actually?
The Australian education
system?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Well, in America, your focus is basically still on the 3 R's, right? Mm. Reading, writing, and arithmetic.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's a little bit different in Australia. Up until grade 11, you must study math and English. The only compulsory subject when you graduate is English. You don't have to do math.
Mm-hmm.
And the choices that you have to pick, you can basically design your own syllabus in high school, which I think is a fantastic idea. And there are subjects ranging from art to metalworking, woodworking, photography, music, dance, sports. There are so many different curriculum to choose from that anyone can basically succeed and get enough points to get into university if they want to.
But you have a core group of courses that you have to take, too.
And
then you have electives, a certain number of core courses that are mandatory. And
right, but in the core groups, you have English. Math is not a prerequisite for college, unless you need it for the course you're going to study in college. But the core groups would be the sciences, history, and English is compulsory. That's the only one that's compulsory. But in those core groups, there are several different things to study. The sciences, they can range from anything from biology. I think there's natural sciences, which is just a study of basically the environment and current events and things like that. But I think that is a good idea. And the reason being, because all children and all people are not designed for the three R's. If you're just raising students, and I think it definitely has things to do with economic groups too. Children that grew up in privileged families have been learning to read and write even before they got into kindergarten. But some kid from the ghetto is already 10 paces behind a privileged child. But he might be an extremely talented photographer or artist. Mm-hmm. And I think that we need to gear our curriculum in schools around that to be targeted at all children and not one group of children.
Right.
And that way everybody has an opportunity to succeed.
Well, I agree. I guess it depends on which school you're going to, but when I went to school in Georgia, it was a very restricted curriculum that we all had to attend. But then I changed to an international school, and it was similar to the system that you're describing now, whereas we had to take everything and you could choose one elective. When I went to the international school, they had a curriculum very much similar to what you described. Mm-hmm. You had to take certain classes, but they had like six or seven different venues of that. For example, science, like you mentioned, you can study natural sciences or you can study biology and whatnot. In the other schools, you had to take each one as you went up one grade, but here you get to choose which one you want to study, and you can choose it and study it until you graduate. Mm-hmm. And the remainder of your classes, the same thing. Even history, you could study just contemporary or current history or, you know, about...
Well, yeah, my major was English literature, and obviously for English literature you don't need math. And I did fairly well in school, but if I had have taken math when I graduated from school, I wouldn't have got into the university that I did get into. Mm-hmm. And I also wouldn't have got the grades. That one grade in my final, what is the equivalent of the SATs in the state, that one grade for math would have brought me down probably on average maybe about 50 marks.
Right, so eventually it brings down your grade point average because it's not what you are, you know,
talented
honed
at.
In on.
Yeah, but I think in other aspects of life you need math. Like, people use, even though, like, people in my university were always like, I hate calculus. Why the hell why am I taking calculus? I'm never going to use it again. But it turns out they've proven that people use calculus every day, just not in the form of in numbers and stuff like that.
But so. I took it for 11 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was just the last year that I graduated so that it wouldn't affect my grade to get into university. Mm-hmm. I didn't take it. So I already had 11 years of training in it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's fair enough.
I think it teaches students to be well-rounded, because that's the reality of the workforce. If you're going to, like, if you think of people you knew who went to college or studied something in high school with this thing in mind, like, I studied anthropology. I did not become an anthropologist. I didn't end up digging for bones or anything. Brennan studied architecture, but he didn't go on to study architecture. But the thing is, we found work in different things. The thing is, the thing you study is not always the thing you end up doing.
Sure.
But it might, if you have a variety of things that you're learning, and you're learning how to manage your time and learning about different interests you have and stuff, it teaches you just to be versatile.
Right.
And you have a dynamic education, and then you can sort of go in whatever directions you're able to take things that are offered to you.
But you say, like, you don't actually apply, like, the skills that you learned if you don't work as, like, for example, I don't work as an architect. But I do apply the education that I received from that. Like, I do go to other countries and notice things architecturally that stimulate my intellect because I had the chance to learn that. And I think just because I'm not making money from what I studied, I think that's not really a big issue.
No, I don't think it's an issue at all. And I think that is probably the main problem I have in all countries with tertiary education.
Mm-hmm.
When you go to college... I took a class in college and the teacher asked, why are you in this class? And every student answered, well, I'm taking business, and this is like part of the general requirement, so I have to take it. And yeah, I want a six-figure salary, whatever. And my answer was, well, I took it to get an education. Mm-hmm. And there was another girl who had a similar answer, and he said the only two who answered correctly were me and the other girl. The reason being is that education was never really put in place for you to get a six-figure salary.
Exactly. Yeah.
It was there to, improve or stimulate the higher faculties to make you an intelligent person, to have an understanding of life and mm-hmm. and give you life experience, too.
Exactly. And the point that I'd like to, or an example that I'd like to make is at MIT, they don't have the grading system like A, B, C, or D, or F. It's P or F. It's pass or fail.
Oh, right.
Which I think is good because okay. It's gearing you toward real life. Because in real life, that's what it is. Mm. It's either you succeed or you don't. And it's not, you kind of do. You know, you get a C and you pass to the next level. So I think actually, I think all higher learning institutions should have that kind of grading system.
Mm. But if they're only there to get you a real job, I mean, if we're saying that the reason to educate yourself is to get a broader understanding of the world around you and to teach you to be a better person, then I think you should just learn, like, you're probably going to be working through school anyways. You're going to learn that if you don't cut the mustard, you're not going to have the job. But the schooling thing, I think, yeah, okay, you weren't so strong in this. You were stronger in this. You apply yourself. It's got to be motivated more by a personal conviction to learn that stuff. If you wanted to go just to get a job, then you should probably just get a skill or something, get a trade or something like that.
Vocational school.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing wrong with that either. I mean,
well, that's what MIT
both
is, actually.
Uses. Yeah,
sure.
So
MIT
something like that
is a high-level vocational school.
Sure, I agree. That kind of education almost requires something like that. But then when you're just about to enter college and you're junior or senior, don't you think that it kind of requires, and I would want this for my own children, yeah, a grade. Why? Because you want the competition, you want the competitiveness, you want your child to feel like, I want to beat this person next to me, I want to do better, I want to get one on top of him.
I don't know, you know,
maybe in business school.
Yeah,
but
I'm in two different minds about that. I think that a little bit of natural competitiveness is good, but in high school, I was the youngest of six children, and my older five brothers and sisters were incredibly successful. So even though my parents weren't pushing me, I felt constantly that I had to achieve. And I became, I'm not even just talking about grades here, but an overachiever. I had to do everything. I had to enter every competition. I had to come out and I had to be the school president because my sister was and my brother was. And I felt this competition all the time. And eventually, it worked against me. I was, in Australia, we call it the tall poppy syndrome. If you get too big, they'll cut you down. And I lost a lot of friends because people thought that I was a big head and because I always had to enter everything. And I was doing it for some other reason, to satisfy my family. But in those situations, I think competition can work against you.
Mm-hmm. But many students want to do it themselves because they want to. I did it because I wanted to. I wanted to be on top of my class.
But there's a difference between competing with your classmates to see if you can outdo them and sort of pushing yourself and competing with yourself, seeing if you can strive to do these things. I think that's a big problem with the workforce these days and with the education system, is also that idea of competition instead of cooperation. Like, shouldn't people be learning how to work with each other in productive ways instead of trying to outdo each other?
Right.
Because that's
I agree.
But then society has changed the educational system so that you do have to compete with other kids. Why?
Of course.
Because there's 100 colleges out there, but they're all ranked from 1 to 100. And sure, they're all good, and as long as you get an education, hey, you're good to go, and you're always going to get a job. But the fact of the matter is, society makes this, unseen kind of scale where they say, what, you went to your community college? I don't know. I'd rather pick this dude from MIT or Harvard because he went to a, five-star school. Mm-hmm. So even though you may be smarter and you may have more qualifications, I'd rather pick this dude from a bigger name school.
And you know what? You know where actually the paradox in that is that especially in America, the people they're striving to get like high salaries and whatnot, and people that get into the better schools tend to get higher salaries. But what they consider to be successful is making a lot of money. And the people who have the most millionaires in America are high school dropouts or haven't even entered high school.
Right.
It was because they learned probably social skills early on, you know, and they had to survive, I guess, somehow. And they're, I mean,
except Bill Gates.
You know the big point
right.
that
well,
I
he dropped out of Harvard.
You know, the big point that I always like to make is I kind of see like two, it's mainly divided into two different groups, and it's making Brendan. And it's making Beau's point exactly. But when you look at people in general, there's two different types of people. There's academically smart people, and then there's people that are, I guess
common
you would put
sense.
It, right, streetwise or whatnot. But these people, they are smart. They've got what it takes, but they may not further their education as far as they want to. And then there's the ones in the middle that go ahead and take it to the next level, and they may achieve the most probably. But the people that are book smart and academically successful may not get as far as people that aren't even educated at all.
Well, you know, I think that generally schools and society is just too competitive, and parents are pushing their kids because exactly what you're saying, you've got to get into this top school because it's number one. And you're not going to have your own law practice. You're not going to be made an associate. You're not going to be a neurosurgeon if you don't get into this school. And the thing is there's an enormous amount of pressure on these children. And I think it's too much to take for most kids at that age. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is maybe some of them aren't that smart and they can't take a medical degree or a law degree.
They're not cut out for it.
Yeah, and we have to realize that there's nothing wrong with some guy who did fairly well in school, but he pushed himself to be the best he could be, but he ended up being, I don't know, in the army, or he ended up running a video shop, but he's doing well, and he's making a bit of money, and he's doing what he enjoys. We put too much thing on this, you know, you've got to make this much money, you've got to have this status in society.
There are people that are satisfied in the sector that they're in, and earning the amount that they are earning and living the life that they are. There may be people that are raised from, you know, filthy rich families that may be happy just, you know, working in an art studio, creating their own, you know, pieces of art, whereas someone from the streets wants a high education and wants to come out of the best school so that they can, you know, do the best that they can.
People respond to different ways of learning, too.
Sure.
And
mm-hmm.
some people learn from an experience thing, from a hands-on thing. Some people learn from visual things. Some people learn from listening to things.
Right.
Some people learn from reading.
But the little kid's point was, father, mother, why can't you accept the fact that I am trying my best and I'm going to continue.
And this is my best.
Right, and continue trying my best, but this is probably, you know, and it's not saying, hey, you're dumb or anything, but this is just how as far as he goes. And maybe it's time to look elsewhere or just be satisfied with what he's doing.
This is what I can do for you. And I think that's the problem is parents and society is just putting way too much pressure on people. Even my father, you know, my entire high school, even from elementary school, I took music lessons and I wanted to be a musician. And I even had an invitation for an audition at the Conservatorium of Music, which is like a once-in-a-life opportunity. It doesn't happen to a lot of people. But my father said, no way, you're going to university, you're going to study economics. And I ended up doing that because I felt pressured by him, stayed there for a year and a half, bombed out completely, and it took me 5 years to go back to university and do what I was interested in, which happened to be English literature. But I was pressured into doing that, and I failed because I was not happy. And I think inevitably all of these children are going to fail or grow up with incredible complexes that their parents have given them. They're not going to be healthy.
Why not put the same standards on children as we do on ourselves? You know, everyone always says, hey, so are you happy? No, I got a terrible job. I'm stressed out. I'm never getting any sleep. I don't enjoy life, et cetera, et cetera. But then doesn't that apply for children as well? I mean, if you're not satisfied with your job, but you're making lots of money, but you're still not happy, right? And people always say, hey, you got to do something that you like to do. That way you can do it for the rest of your life. It's the same with children. Hey, education is long term as well. You know, you're going from what, preschool all the way up to, you know, and then after that, even more for some people, they've got 8 more, 12 more years even after high school.
Hopefully, it's a lifelong, a lifelong thing. Education.
You know, I have a godfather, a godfather who still educates himself. He is in his 60s now, early 60s. He is the most intelligent person that I probably ever met. He educates himself on a daily basis. You know, he still goes to school. He still reads books and newspapers and is always trying to get a higher education, always trying to, you know, kind of pick up my brain even with stimulating conversations.
And I think the thing is, people, the thing about jobs that's so weird about back home is that people define themselves so much by their jobs, not by who they are.
The status that you are.
Yeah, and that's why you have these people who are like, yeah, well, I happen to work for this company or whatever. And it's like, oh, well, what's your position? And a big drawing point for a lot of people, if they're trying to get someone, hire someone for a job, a highly qualified person, it's the title that they're giving.
Right.
You'll be the executive junior executive in charge of marketing, finding these long, long titles. And it's ridiculous. It's just a name. But it's like gives people this feeling of status. And it's like this kind of payoff for everything you've done and everything. And it's just, it's bizarre. I think it's like, the first question you get asked back home is like, so what do you do? And that's basically it. And people can sort of decide based on that if you're worth talking to or not.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. That really annoys me too. I have a problem with that.
I think it's actually more here in Asia, the status thing, where once you enter a certain status, you can't leave it. I mean, in the States, you can move between titles. Here, once you're stamped with a title and status, that's pretty much it for you, and you can't really move into other circles. Mm-hmm. For example, I have a friend who is he studied architecture and art at the same time, and he came to Korea and he teaches architecture, and he taught architecture through painting, and it was a very interesting way to visualize architecture in a two-dimensional medium, and they didn't accept him here, and they didn't accept him as he had to be one or the other. He had to be either an artist or he had to be an architect. He couldn't be both, and I think that's kind of, that limits a lot of people once they finish their higher education and move into certain jobs.
I think that's a weird about the Korean thing too. I think there is maybe less competition within companies. There's sort of an understanding once you work at this company, you're part of the family. I work for this company or for this company, and everybody knows their place, and it's sort of, there is a bit more of a team, a bit of a cooperative spirit. There's not as much room for advancement, and there's not as much drive to really work hard.
Well, reason being is because eventually you're going to get up there, but you always have to start from the bottom. And once, even if you come from a great college or university, you start from a certain position that they have a name for, and then after 2 years, you, without exception, or unless you really were a bad apple, you go to the next level. And so eventually after 20 years, you're going to hit that top, you know,
the CEO.
Right.
Well, how does it work? Everybody seems to be doing that, but their salary is like maybe the, on average $1,600,000 or $1,700,000 a month.
How do you survive on that?
But they all, and they say like the living standard now, people need
More,
3 million at least with a kid and a wife. How do they?
Bonuses. They get bonuses.
Yeah,
right.
But still, that's not going to make it $3 million a month.
The bonus is actually a lot of the times more than your salary. That's what it is. You get the bonuses, the big bonus every couple of months or how many times a year that are actually many times more than what and it depends on what projects you may be doing. You get another promotion then.
But unlike America, the key to getting the bonuses and stuff is not to like get out there and shake things up and see what you can do and try to do better than everyone else.
Exactly.
It's don't make waves, just be quiet, be patient, and things will pay off for you.
Well, how about going back to this point now that we are talking about the Korean society versus the American workforce? What do you think about this? I noticed that in Korea, many people go to university and pick a subject that they're going to study, a major or whatever. For example, I know people who choose, I majored in architecture, for example. And so what do you do now? What company do you work at now? Obviously expecting him to say, I work at such and such architectural company or whatever, but lo and behold, he says, I work in English education, or, you know, something almost the opposite of what they majored in. I don't understand how that is possible, But here, it is.
I'll take that on.
Okay.
I think, actually, that is what is happening with the so-called X generation in America. And I read this article about this kid. He was sitting. He had graduated high school with, like, a history major or something. And he was sitting in a hot tub in his apartment, you know, like a $1,000 a month apartment or whatever. And he was complaining that he couldn't find a job in his major. And the thing is that why they call him the X generation is, well, that's another thing altogether. But the X generation, they complain about things like that. They end up working at, you know, coffee shops or whatever, and they can't but they're not trying as hard as their parents, who were the baby boomers, who did. Most of them, if they studied architecture or history, they went into those kind of jobs for the reason that they wanted their kids to have a better life.
So your point is the reason why people these days are running off into other fields is because they don't want to try in their own?
Because they don't have the same reasons as their parents did or those baby boomer kids before, you know, and I think it's all over the world these days. It's just like, I think kids are becoming
lazy.
Yeah, they're not like I think everyone has a gift, and they're not like a lot of people
looking for it.
Yeah, they're not even trying. They just like gave up on society and they gave up on themselves. And this is what everybody else is doing, so that's what I'm going to do. In Korea, I know that people will choose majors because other people are doing it. It's popular, and that's not necessarily a bad thing to not work in your major. It's just like, oh, you have education in this. I met a guy whose major was French. So, and I was like, do you speak French? No. What do you do? I work for, you know, a company. Okay, great.
Because in the American society, it's either one or two things. First, okay, this job is very popular. It's going to be, when I was about to graduate, all the teachers were pushing us, if you haven't decided, you should seriously consider computers and computer science and computer programming. Everyone, you know,
because that's the future.
The salary's going to be up in the 100s plus, you know, that's what they were encouraging. Or if you have a talent, you know, I had one of my best friends was a genius and, you know, artistically. Another one played, you know, the sax like, you know, you've never heard. And so if you had a specific talent, they say go toward that, you know, go to Juilliard or whatever. Or they try to tell you these are going to be the fields that are going to be, you know, there's going to be lots of jobs available, or the salary's going to be really big in 4 years when you graduate.
Okay, I'll give you a more specific detail of my own decision. When I was going to college or applying for colleges, I liked drawing and I liked designing things. I just thought, oh, well, and also Luke had a valid point about the status thing in America. And when you are in high school, you look at all those factors and, like, architect sounds pretty good. It's a, you know, status position and whatnot. And I do like doing the stuff. But then once I started getting into it, I liked the design classes and things like that. The other stuff I didn't really get into. And
you like the creative aspect.
I like the creative aspect of it, but I learned that it's not just that in architecture. You can't just be the designer.
Sure.
You got to be a businessman, and you got to be a mathematician. You got to be an engineer, and you got to be all these things. I didn't want to do any of that, even though like I put myself into this position that, well, I'm just going to go ahead and do it. So I got jobs in architecture, and some of them I liked, but then some of them I just realized there's got to be another way to fulfill. I mean, I can still use my education, just not as what people think an architect is.
Right.
I don't want to be a number in a company, and I don't want to be drawing other people's designs for the rest of my life.
You were looking for personal satisfaction.
Yeah, and I think that's why I am in that situation where I didn't take a job in my major.
So you slowly stray from what you thought you would be.
Not necessarily. Well, yeah. I mean, in what society thinks that you're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. You have to be the architect. He is an architect. Mm-hmm. I mean, I still consider myself an architect, even though I'm not working in an architectural office.
Well, you know, I did the same thing. I mean, I wanted to be a musician. My father made me go to university and study economics, which I just knew from the first day I didn't want to do. Then I eventually went back to university and studied English literature. And everybody's asking me, like, why are you studying this? Why aren't you doing anything else? Well, I had a musical education since I was young, and that's what my job is now. But I chose it because, one, I wanted that stimulation that you get from a tertiary education. And I wanted to know things. I wanted to understand literature and to have a better understanding of the world and society. And I think that it did definitely improve my understanding of those things. But everything is interconnected. What Bo was saying about his architectural degree and the way he now applies it in his life. For me, my education in English literature has helped me write better lyrics, has helped me understand lyrics, mm-hmm. has helped me love reading, which is, you know, the best education you're ever going to get is picking up a book and reading it. Mm-hmm. And I think that perhaps the X generation, what you were talking about, maybe they have become lazy, because I think kids are much more privileged now than they were 20 years ago. But maybe it's also because these kids went to university and they picked a major like history or science or something like that, and they know they don't want to be a history high school teacher or, you know, a scientist in some factory punching numbers on a computer. Maybe they are looking for some more personal satisfaction in their life. I think that if that is true and they're holding out and they're finding something that's going to make them happy, mm-hmm. that's good. If they're finding something that's going to pay them six figures, that's not good. Mm-hmm. I hope that people are looking for personal satisfaction.
I think there is a lot of disenchantment with that whole. For our parents, it was all right. You know, you get a job, you get a stable life. That's how they were. That's how they were raised, and that's what they knew. For people, there's a bit of a line between people our age. There's the get out there and go getters that are always like so chipper and just want to. They're always motivated and they're always happy and they want to just get to the top mm-hmm. and every day's a sunny day. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then there's other people who are just like, there's just other things to life than just like climbing the corporate ladder and then, you know, until you're 40 and then, you know, divorcing your wife and getting a sports car and or blowing your brains out or something.
I know another point that could be made is if you look at the Korean culture too, you see. In general, not necessarily because of education, but these families with children that stay with the family way beyond the years that we would stay with our families. Everyone always says, you know, even 5 years ago, why are you so young and living alone? They think I was disgraced by my family or for some reason, hey, you turn 18, you're out of the house.
Or exactly.
In any foreign society, you're a bum. You're literally a bum and eating off your parents, you know.
If you're still living with your parents.
Yeah. Right. You're disgraced from the neighborhood. But they always say, hey, so-and-so's kid is still in the house. They're 20-something.
Yeah.
But it's the culture is different. Yes, I understand. But I was just thinking another aspect to that is recently in the news, if you've been listening, you hear about all these universities turning in these figures where they have so many students but nobody in the classroom. Reason being, one, because these kids don't want to get out there and they don't know what to do once they get out there. And second, well, there is a lack of jobs because no one's filling in, you know, the jobs. There's not enough jobs for them after they graduate. So they, instead of staying 5 or 6 years, they take off a year and then they come back for 6 months and then they take off another year because they're trying to extend that eventual, you know, got to get out in the society thing.
But I think another thing is you got to realize that as time goes on, you're not just this static entity, you know. Mm-hmm. If you stretch your education out over time, like the way I was thinking and the person I was when I first started university,
it changes.
I'm totally a different person. And can I qualify a person? Can I qualify the person that I was 7 years ago to make all the decisions of what I'm going to do for the rest of my life?
Right, absolutely.
Like I was a bonehead back then. I'm still not much better now, but I wouldn't trust the person I was then to make decisions for who I am today.
And even the person you are in 1 year, you change dramatically, and then 7 years. Think about it.
Sure.
I mean, for me, even when I first went into school again, it was just like. I was just living a totally different life than everyone else my age. That school was not for me at that time. You know, it was everyone was experiencing freedom and having the time away from their parents for the first time and partying every night. I was partying too, but I also had a full-time job and I just had different ambitions. It was so much different from my fellow, you know, classmates. So it just was not right for me at that time. I did want the education, but it just seemed like I would be pushed backward almost being influenced by the people that were next to me, and I was just thinking, well, I think I want to come back after I've matured a little more myself, and second, when I have a more clear grasp of what I want to study and that I do want to study, and maybe then I'd be able to concentrate more on my studies. And I knew then already that I wanted to study seriously and not be partying every night and studying in the daytime. I wanted to just study and work.
And even if you know what you want to study at a certain time or something, the reality, and so does the technology and the workforce and what's available out there. I mean, things move so fast these days that there's no such thing as job security as our parents knew it or whatever. So the bottom line is, yeah, to be taught, the most valuable thing you can get from any school education is how to be well-rounded and how to be able to move and adapt and how to just have a whole bunch of different strengths and be able to change at will whenever something changes in the workforce or in what jobs demand.
So virtually, like anything else in life, education is another complicated thing because you can't do one and not complete the other. I mean, we were just talking about earlier how you want to find peace with yourself so you go after the topic or the major that you want to study in school and what will make you happy, and yet now you have to be well-rounded still to keep your job and to keep that, you know, security in your job. I mean, it's not as easy as pie.
Well, I think that the really important issue here is that your education is not just something you get from college, that it's also an ongoing process, whether it be in your job or in your life. And I, personally, I hope to call myself a student until the day I die. I think there, the more you learn, the less you realize you know, and that it just encourages you to continue that education and to learn more.
And if you are a well-developed person, and you get along well with the people that are around you and stuff, you know, as we were talking about earlier, the streetwise kind of person, you further yourself in the workplace as well, because if you look at people who aren't so, you know, don't get along so well with people around them, that you can't succeed as far just because you're talented.
But to reiterate what Daisy was saying is that I wanted to make this point that you don't necessarily have to go to college to get an education.
Yeah.
And I will give you another example that when I was living in Korea, I had decided to stop living in Korea and go to graduate school. And the reason was because I believed all that stuff. Like, to educate yourself, you have to go to an institution and all this stuff. So I went to the graduate school that I was going to apply to. It was an art school. And I met some of the students in there. And they were so colorless, and I thought they would be so great because they're artists and stuff, but they were all kind of, they all had, yeah, they had the same kind of MO as just like any kind of student, whereas the people that I meet here in Korea are so much more colorful, and I learn so much more from them, and like, or other people just like that come here from different countries in the world, I learn so much more than having that paper.
You know, you got to think that being in a foreign country and you have so many people from different lands come here, those people that came here, they are not run-of-the-mill kind of people. They're first, they've got to have the guts to go somewhere else, and they were interested in learning more and growing and developing it within themselves.
And yes, I agree. And also, I thought, well, I'm going to not go to graduate school, and I'm going to make the world my classroom. And another way would be, this is a good base to travel to other countries and learn about other cultures, which I really haven't got the chance to do. But again, you can still do that without visually seeing that a little bit, like vicariously through other people that do go and have these experiences. And then, you know, like people that were there, they might think about going to Thailand, but would they really know why? Would they have a lot of details of like why they would want to go there, or do they just want to go to like a cool beach and do drugs, you know?
Well, you know, I agree with everything both of you have just said, but I also think an education cannot be replaced if you enter that institution and that education for the right reasons. I don't think the right reasons are going for the job on Wall Street or the six-figure salaries. But if you go into that institution and you're mentally prepared for what you're going to learn, and you're using that information in a practical way, mm-hmm. not just in the theoretical way that society has told you you should use it, then I don't think there's anything that can replace that type of education.
We might all agree on that point, but then again, like, it still is the fact that people need that piece of paper to get on.
Right. Sure. Reality bites.
Yeah.
That's true. I think you do. If you want to be in a profession that requires you to have a science degree or that requires you to have a degree in psychiatry or whatever, of course it's necessary.
Or
but that's
you
your
just,
choice.
Or you just can't get beyond that barrier. There are still people who can practice and who work in those fields that may not have that piece of paper, but most of the time in general, you need it.
Right. But I'm specifically talking about professions like psychiatry. I mean, you can't become
sure,
a psychiatrist unless you have the 7-year degree.
Unless you're Dear Abby.
But, yeah, also, I think this is a philosophy of the X generation, which is, well, I bust my butt for 4 years and get my degree, but now I'm going to be a bartender because it's more fun. And mm-hmm. if, like, I lose my job...
You still have security.
Yes, I can just go back and become a history teacher.
I don't see anything bad with that, though.
I don't either.
I don't see anything wrong
with
that.
No, I'm not saying it in a negative way.
It's
I'm
like
just
having
saying
insurance.
That's, I'm just stating the fact.
I think so, a bartender with a university degree that has a broad knowledge of history or psychology would be a fascinating bartender. I'd go to that bar. He'd probably make a good living owning a bar and tending that bar.
I
don't see a problem with that.
The job bartender is derogatory.
Any job.
Yeah, not another job that's outside of your major.
See, that's the thing. I think that it doesn't matter what you study, that education somewhere down the track is going to benefit you as long as you have approached that education with an open mind and you've actually gained something from it.
And also, you don't necessarily have to, I mean, after you have that piece of paper, you're still educating yourself, not necessarily by going to school, but there are many people who educate themselves. Like I said, my godfather to this day still educates himself and is always looking for a new.
You know, that's really important, too, furthering your education and constantly wanting to increase your knowledge. But I also think that, if we just approach our education in a different way, without the capitalistic ideals behind it and thinking or encouraging your children to go to school for different reasons, not because you have to win or not because you have to be this or do that, just for the reason that education was originally created by the Greek philosophers, to improve you as a human being, to grasp the higher faculties and to get something from them.
And maybe before we close, since we talked about early education, and later on education, life now and work, maybe we should touch base before we end the conversation on, education in your later years. These days you hear about lots of people going back to get that piece of paper like I said, my godfather he's had that piece of paper, but still continuing to strive for more and higher education. Do you think you'll still be studying and maybe groping for more knowledge?
I don't know if I'll be academically studying.
Right.
I might be. I'd like to leave the option open. I wouldn't be. I wouldn't feel ashamed or like I was going backwards by going back to school if it was something that interested me. But I just think hopefully the kind of jobs I'll end up with will allow me to explore different avenues and to grow in different ways and to become more enlightened with different things. And I mean, that's kind of what that's hopefully what it is. They say, the best way to be successful and happy is to find something you really like and then figure out a way to get paid for it.
Mm. Yeah.
And if you can do that,
sleeping.
I mean, that's pretty good.
Well, I definitely agree with everything you just said. And I want to always be a student, whether it be at an academic institution or a student of life. But I believe when I was last at college, I took a few philosophy classes and I loved them. And I think that's my next step. I'm going to go back and I'm going to get another degree in philosophy, not for my job, just because I love it. And that is, I think, the essential reason for studying. If you love it and you're interested in it, then go and study it.
Right, I definitely agree. I find that I'm very satisfied. Oh, I want to learn this. Or these days, oh, I want to, you know, take lessons doing this because it satisfies me, not because it's going to get me up on higher on that chain. Sure, it will eventually, but it satisfies me. It gives me some sort of personal gratification, being able to learn another, you know, trade or finding more knowledge.
And I think a lot of employers, when they're looking to hire someone, the way that everyone these days is so overqualified for so many jobs, people have gone to school for so long and have learned so much about so many about their fields and stuff. They're so specialized. I think really the difference, the edge that you'll get is just being a well-rounded, interesting person. I mean, no one wants to work with someone who's the best, who's very intelligent and very hardworking, but has a lame personality and is a total deadbeat to hang out with. I mean, you work with your coworkers, you want to be able to get along with them. Sure. You want to be stimulated by them. You want to be interested in them. You have to work with the people.
I disagree kind of a little bit. Like, at some points I do agree, like, depending on the job. But what if it's like NASA? I don't really want, you know, or like a heart surgeon. I don't want the guy joking around.
The majority of jobs, I'm saying.
The lame jobs, like accounting and stuff. That would be...
I don't know, a heart surgeon with an
attitude,
a humorous personality wouldn't.
Okay,
be so bad.
Maybe like when he's not
squeezing your heart.
Yeah, maybe like outside or something. Like, you know, you got, hey, you want to hear a joke? You got 3 days to live.
By the way,
I left that chisel inside your
the scalpel in your heart.
Just kidding.
But I mean, how much of your time? Of course, part of the whole work thing and having a cohesion in any work environment is. You do your work for a bit and you work well together, but then when you're not working, when you get to kick back a bit, can you have anything to talk about? Can you hang out? Is it cool? Can you go for beers afterwards? I'm sure guys from NASA go out for beers after a hard day's work.
There has to be, I think, in any work environment, whether it be NASA or whether it be this studio here, some type of camaraderie between people.
Sure.
And, you know, that is something that life and living and relationships can only give you. So I think that, you know, in closing, that an education is irreplaceable. It's very important, but we have to look at the reasons why we're educating ourselves once again.
Right.
And also, try to foster in our own children and in our schools and in our teachers an attitude of not competition with one another and not by rote appreciation and learning of things, but an absorbing of things, an internalization of ideas, and an ability to interact and cooperate with your peers throughout all stages of growth and throughout education, because those are the values that are really, those are the traits that are really valued when you're in an actual job situation, and which will benefit everyone, like all of humanity, in the long run.
Okay, and also, you know, I think, and foster other ways to educate them. Like, don't make them lazy, like we were talking about the X generation. Encourage them to have part-time jobs while they're at school so they learn other lessons as well.
And also, I think that our views today, I want to say this to our listeners, that, you know, our views have been really pretty much liberal, you know, and there are a lot of conservative views out there. People will say, no, this is the right way, and it really is up to you. You know, these are our opinions. And, you know, everyone has different opinions. This group here just has more, I think, liberal opinions than other people.
Yes, but if truth really be known, we're right.
Amen.
We hope.
We know it.